Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 9, 14 to 29, Christ's teaching on prayerfully trusting God in spiritual hardships of the angelic conflict. We learned in our first lesson in the series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright service from personal failure. Bible scholars believe that Mark faced hardship that he did not properly handle, leading to his defection from missionary service in Acts 13:13, versus his faithfully continuing to serve the Lord and continuing with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Well, Mark chapter 9, 14 to 20, 29 actually, presents Jesus' instruction on handling spiritual hardships and ministry in particular. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 9, 14 to 29. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around him, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked them, what question you with them? He actually was talking to the disciples. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, or a spirit that creates dumbness. Wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth and pines away. And I spoke to the disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said, since his childhood. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when Jesus was come into the house, his disciples asked him in private, saying, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer. We're going to see later that the words and fasting are not in the best manuscripts. And there's a reason why I believe it should be ending with prayer. Well, when Jesus returned to the nine disciples, they were in a state of spiritual hardship and failure in verses 14 to 18. The nine disciples were in a crowd arguing with the scribes. And of course, that would have been a stressful situation. The scribes were the spiritual scholars of the day. They're like seminary professors. And they were in an argument with them. Actually, the scribes were arguing with them. And these men were not trained. They hadn't gone to the rabbinical schools at all. So this would have been a very stressful situation for them. Well, Jesus asked about what they were arguing, and a man in the crowd said that he had brought his son to Jesus to be healed of a demon that had left the boy deaf and dumb. The man said the demon often convulsed him. The word tear, I think, is better as convulsions. Often convulsed him with violent seizures, symptomatic of epilepsy, and had tried to kill him. The man had brought his son to Jesus' nine disciples who had exorcised demons in their past ministry back in Mark chapter 6, 7, 12 to 13, when Jesus sent the disciples out. But that this time they were unable to help. So the argument of the disciples with the scribes was a wrestling experience, and it was created by the angelic conflict through the agency of a rebellious, violent demon who possessed the boy. There's an interesting statement that's made, and I put down in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, that is worth looking at this point. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, and this has to do with the angelic conflict, Finally, my brethren, verse 10 of chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness actually in the heavenlies. So the wrestling, when a person experiences a wrestling experience, like you can't really get it resolved and there's a struggle that's going on and it's a negative situation, demonic influence often is present. It's interesting that the demon that was involved was a demon that was violent and it was rebellious. And it's interesting that the scribes were acting in a rebellious, aggressive way, very typical. So that it demonstrates that there's angelic conflict. You and I have both been in situations where we've been in conflicts of this sort. And we think that at the time the conflict might be with people. And there is a struggle that's going on. There's aggression, there's anger, there's opposition to authority, due authority. Actually, it's being fueled by the evil one. And we need to wake up to that fact. It's an angelic conflict that is behind the whole thing. And that's what was behind this. Well, at this report, Jesus expressed a critique on the unbelief of everybody involved. He critiqued the entire generation. But notice, he critiqued the scribes who were guilty of willful and persistent unbelief. And of course, they were involved in arguing with the disciples, probably arguing against their ability to help. So he critiqued the scribes who were guilty of willful and persistent unbelief. He critiqued the boy's father who was guilty of unwilling belief. And he was guilty, and the boy who was guilty of irresponsible unbelief. And his disciples who were guilty of unconscious unbelief. This all comes from G. Campbell Morgan in his book, The Gospel According to Mark, written way back in 1927. That dear man of God is as relevant today as he was when he wrote this. It's a wonderful, Dr. Morgan would read through a book 40 times before he bothered to teach or preach out of it, so he'd get a feel for the book. He was a wonderful man of God, dear man of God. Well, Jesus then solved the desperate situation created by such widespread unbelief in so many. And it's also interesting to keep in mind, Jesus is focusing on the lack of faith. When we run into angelic conflict issues that seem to be too big for us and we are struggling with it, we haven't put our faith in the Lord. We really need to trust Him. This goes along, Bob mentioned this morning in the adult Sunday school class, the need to trust the Lord. And we really need to do that in regards to this. So when they brought the boy to Jesus, the demon reacted with rebellious hostility, trying to kill the boy by making him convulse. That's the word terror would be better, convulse. Fall down and roll around on the ground, foaming at the mouth. This is obviously a demon that is very disorderly, very aggressive, and very mean. Now Jesus asked how long the boy had been in this state, and the father said since his childhood, and that the demon had often tried to kill him, but that if Jesus could help, to have pity and help him. Apparently the demon had tried to make the boy fall into the fire so he'd be burned up, or fall into the water so he would drown, that kind of a thing. And that demonstrates the two purpose of demon possessions. Demons possess people because they want to kill them. Why? Because man is in the image of God. And the evil one wants to destroy everything that's in the image of God, because the program of God is built around men and leading men and women to Christ. So he wants to kill. This is the evil one also wants to destroy the institutions in which man lives. He wants to destroy marriages and families. This is often why you have murder suicides in families, or mothers killing their children, this kind of a thing. There's demonic forces that are impelling and pushing people into this. So that's what we have to watch out for. Now, the Lord reacted by mimicking the Father's words in order to critique them by saying, if you can. Now, this doesn't come out in the King James Version, verse 23, if thou can. What he said, if you can, it's just like we would say, someone said, like man says, help us if you can. Jesus says, if you can. If I can. So it was a critique of the man's lack of faith. So he says, if you can. And then he added, all things are possible for one who believes. See, Jesus is still harping at this issue of faith. There's a lack of faith. lack of faith in the disciples and the boy. That's why he got demon possessed. Lack of faith in the father, lack of faith in the scribes. Everybody has a lack of faith, the whole generation. Well, the desperate father tearfully cried out, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." That, incidentally, is one of the purest forms of unbelief. The man says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. If I'm not believing hard enough, please help me." Well, actually, that's faith, because he's asking God to help him even in regards to his faith. That's pure faith. And so the Lord responded. Well, Christ saw the crowd running together, so he immediately addressed the demon. And he said, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." The spirit, in violent rebellion against Christ, shrieked, convulsed the boy violently, and left. Isn't that something? This demon, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, but this demon has so much hatred of God, he shrieked, he tried to rebel, and then he left. So it demonstrates what we're up against. We are up against an enemy that is very cruel, very mean, very rebellious against authority, true authority. And that's what we struggle with. This is why we really need to do what the Lord tells us to do with this, because we can't handle this on our own. Well, the boy looked dead, and many said he was, but Jesus raised him up to stand on his feet. Now, what's interesting is the lesson that follows this in verses 28 and 29. When the disciples later asked Jesus why they could not help the boy, Jesus told of their need to trust God versus relying on their human might or their past ministry track records of exorcising demons. You'll remember back in Mark chapter 6, and I've alluded to this already earlier in the lesson. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ had called unto him the 12, and he began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over the unclean spirits. All right? And then if I skip down to verses 12 and 13 there, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed the oil with many that were sick and healed them. So they did have power over the demons. Well, these men believed this is another demon. We can cast them out. Let's just go at it. But what they were doing is relying upon their own track record. That's very, very lethal in regards to the ministry. Well, it's interesting that Christ told of their need to trust God versus relying on the human might or their past ministry track records of exorcising demons. Now, many manuscripts adds the word "and fasting" after prayer in verse 29. But that's due to the increasing stress in the early church and the necessity of fasting. There was a belief that people needed to fast in all the second and third centuries of the church, and so it would be understandable that they would add that in there. But the manuscripts that omit the addition are key representatives of four major schools of manuscripts. There are four major schools of the manuscripts: Alexandrian, Western Caesarean, and Byzantine. And the three earliest, Alexandrian, Western, and Caesarean, three different types of manuscripts. There are very early manuscripts in each one of those classes that leave out "and fasting." So there's a very strong evidence here that you should have the shorter reading. It should end with prayer instead of adding the words "and fasting." Also, the shorter reading that has the Lord's statement ending with prayer supports Jesus' words on ministry success by faith alone in God, not by faith plus the human work of fasting. See, if you add in "and fasting," that becomes a work. And if you can handle demons by fasting, then all of a sudden you have the more power. By human power, you're overcoming demons. You can't do that. In a situation with demons, all you can do is pray. And I've listened to people who've been involved in exorcising demons and everything. They say, whatever you do, you never resort to human power or effort, and you never touch a person who's demon-possessed. You can get killed. All right? What you do is you claim the power of Christ, and you beseech them in the name of Christ and by the power of the blood of Christ to come out. And the demons will try to stall you, try to entertain you, you know, talk about things that may happen in somebody's future and so forth, and you never let them go with that. You command them, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And you're praying all the time. But prayer is very, very important. So Jesus taught the disciples that success in handling ministry spiritual hardships, especially regarding the angelic conflict, comes by trusting God through prayer, not by relying on one's ability or his track record. So Jesus taught that facing ministry spiritual hardships or wrestlings typical of the angelic conflict calls for faith and prayer. Faith in prayer for God's help, not a reliance on one's own human abilities or their own track record for success. So if we face spiritual hardships in life or ministry, we wrestle in the angelic conflict, according to Ephesians 6:10 through 12. And to succeed, we must abandon human might and track records and seek God's help by the prayer of faith. There are any number of circumstances that have happened just in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks. And I've been around and have noticed and been involved with a significant number of issues in regards to angelic conflict. I thought I would just bring one up. When I get up, I have to get up during the middle of the night to repack the firebox in the wintertime because I don't have a firebox that loads the wood up that I can burn all the way 8 hours through. So I have to get up. And there's a danger in getting up if I have to work too hard that I become too much awake and that's awful hard to go back to sleep. So the easiest thing for me to do, best thing for me to do is to get up and keep myself drowsy as I'm loading up the firebox. Well, for me to do that, I would need a stool. But I need a kind of a stool that is readily accessible instead of one in the kitchen going and getting it, because that has a tendency, there's more activity that makes me awake. I need something that's right there. I just pop the thing on and I can sit on the stool. And then it's much easier to handle the wood and I can stay drowsy. And I go back to bed and I'm out in a minute or two. Well, I went to a store, happened to be Walmart, and I found a stool there. But it was a collapsible stool that could hide there and everything really nice for $16.94. And I thought, oh, that's pricey. I don't want to spend $16.94 for a stool, collapsible stool or not. So there was only one there, and I really debated getting it, and I thought, no, I better not, because I think I'm being worldly by spending that much money. And I went home, but I couldn't get the stool out of my mind. Well, I didn't know, is the Lord after me on this, or is the devil on? I mean, I couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. So I prayed and asked the Lord for wisdom and help and whatnot. And I got to thinking, the purpose of this is to get my sleep, and I need my sleep if I'm going to have a mind that's clear. I need a mind that's clear if I'm going to study the Word of God and present it, because that's where my spiritual gift is, in the area of expounding the Word, so I have to get sleep. So I thought, you know, even if it costs that much, and with tax it'd be like $17.56, I'm going to go back to the store, and if it's there, I'm going to buy it. Well, it was there. So I thought, okay, I'll pay it. And I went up there prepared to pay. You know, I had my $20 bill already. And so the lady had a scanning gun. She scanned it. And she said, okay, with tax, that's $3.80. I said, are you kidding me? And here's the sticker right here. You know, there it is. You can see $16.94. I said, it says there. She says, well, and she'd scan this barcode. She said, well, look, I scanned it. It's $3.80. Oh, okay, no argument. You know, I didn't want her to change her mind. So I paid out the money, and she gave me the change, and I went on my way. And here's the receipt just to prove it. The actual without the tax is $3.57. There's 23 cents tax that came in. So I got this stool. They had a $16.94 tag on it for $3.80. So I figured that the Lord wanted me to have the stool, you know. And he provided it, so the cost was not an issue. But it was when I had made it an issue of prayer and realized that what I need to do, I need to get that because that's going to help me stay drowsy because I'm thinking of the ministry. So I think we need to keep in mind the importance of really keeping all these issues. This is one of the smallest, if not the smallest, of the angelic conflict issues that I had. But it was an important one, and I really believe that the Lord wants us to be in prayer. We face a lot of this all the time You know, sometimes we face it in relationships with other people. Sometimes we face it in difficult circumstances that we face. There's a lot of angelic conflict issues that are facing, that we're facing. What we need to do is we need to be in prayer. And as we pray, the Lord will give us wisdom. He'll give us guidance. And he'll give us the capacity to overcome all these struggles that we face.